Would you please turn to the first chapter of the prophecy of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel comes after Lamentations, which comes after Jeremiah. Ezekiel chapter 1 and verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, on the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Kibar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. On the fifth day of the month, which was in the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kibar, and the hand of the Lord was upon him there. Then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north, a great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself, and brightness was all around it and radiating out of its midst like the colour of amber out of the midst of the fire. And from within it came the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They have the likeness of a man. Each one had four faces, and each one had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the soles of their feet were like the soles of calves' feet. They sparkled like the colour of burnished bronze. The hands of a man were under their wings on their four sides, and each of the four had faces and wings. Their wings touched one another. The creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, each had the face of a man. Each of the four had the face of a lion on the right side. Each of the four had the face of an ox on the left side. And each of the four had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces, their wings stretched upwards. Two wings of each one touched one another, and two covered their bodies, and each one went straight forward. They went wherever the Spirit wanted to go, and they did not turn when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like burning coals of fire, like the appearance of torches going back and forth among the living creatures. The fire was bright, and out of the fire went lightning, and the living creatures ran back and forth, in appearance like a flash of lightning. Now as I looked at the living creatures, behold, a wheel was on the earth, beside each living creature with its four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their workings was like the colour of beryl, and all four had the same likeness. The appearance of their workings was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they moved, they went towards any one of four directions. They did not turn aside when they went. As for their rims, they were so high, they were awesome, and their rims were full of eyes all around the four of them. When the living creatures went, the wheels went with them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Wherever the Spirit wanted to go, they went, because there the Spirit went. And the wheels were lifted together with them, for the Spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. When those went, these went. When those stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up together with them, for the spirit of the living creatures was in the wheels. The likeness of the firmament above the heads of the living creatures was like the colour of an awesome crystal, stretched out over their heads. And under the firmament their wings spread out straight, one towards another. Each one had two which covered one side, and each one had two which covered the other side of the body. When they went, I heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of many waters, like the voice of the Almighty, a tumult like the noise of an army. And when they stood still, they let down their wings. A voice came from above the firmament that was over their heads. Whenever they stood, they let down their wings. And above the firmament, over their heads, was the likeness of a throne, in appearance like a sapphire stone. On the likeness of the throne was a likeness with the appearance of a man high above it. Also from the appearance of his waist and upward I saw, as it were, the colour of amber, with the appearance of fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his waist and downward I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire with brightness all around, like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. So when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one speaking. And he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you. That arguably is one of the strangest chapters of Scripture. If some would consider its contents weird, we must also admit it is incredibly wonderful. And I'm looking at those appearances of God in the Bible when he shows his glory and his majesty. And this is one of them. And there are three or four general points I'd like to make about the chapter. If you were reading it or listening to it and you thought, I don't think I understand, I have some good news and some bad news. The good news is that I feel the same way. The bad news is that as a preacher, that's not always terribly helpful. But what we have here is something beyond our experience and beyond our comprehension. We need to move away from the colouring book view of God. An old man sitting on a throne or a wooden chair with the beard and all the rest. What Ezekiel was shown here was something so wonderful, so amazing and fabulous that even with the Holy Spirit of God helping him to write it, I think he struggled to find sufficient adjectives to translate what his eyes saw onto a scroll. I enjoy listening to classical music. There are some pieces which I find wonderfully moving. And if you were to say to me, well, write down what the music is like, I'm not sure I could. I might arrange for the CD to play so you can hear it. I might use words like wonderful and inspiring and fantastic, but in fact we use those words all the time. I made a cup of tea for somebody the other day, they said that was a fantastic cuppa. That means I cannot use that cheap word to describe what Ezekiel is describing here. He is given a glimpse of the glory and majesty of God. And quite frankly, it is beyond comprehension. These living creatures, which we might describe as an angelic species, may of course appear in the fourth chapter of Revelation. There are differences between them. These have four wings, they had half a dozen. Angelic beings are clearly more than what we picture. There is a whole world of angelic creation out there which we are not currently permitted to know about. I don't understand their appearance. I certainly don't understand the role of the wheels which appear to accompany them. If somebody said to an illustrator, would you please do a depiction of Ezekiel chapter 1, I think he would say no. Even if he had no qualms of trying to depict the Almighty, these angels, the description we have, it is quite frankly beyond our comprehension. Now that doesn't mean it's not true. People sometimes say, how can a Trinity be true? How can there be one God and three persons? That's illogical. What they're saying is, because my little mind cannot comprehend it, it clearly cannot be true. As the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways, says the Lord Almighty. And if ever you doubt that scripture, read again Ezekiel chapter 1. It is fabulous, but beyond anything we can imagine. I know I've used this illustration before, but imagine a baby in the womb anticipating what life will be like. Sunshine, flowers, scents, relationships, heritage, landscapes. It has no concepts. And here Ezekiel, and we through him, are given a glimpse of something so wonderful that having read that first chapter of Ezekiel, we may not feel much wiser. God is far greater, far more magnificent than anything we could possibly imagine. I remember somebody who used to come to this chapel asking me, won't heaven be boring? Won't it be just like a kind of posh hotel with no entertainment laid on? Such a one misunderstood. Wherever the Lord Almighty is found, there is the source of all meaning, all beauty, all fulfillment, all majesty. This is very hard to grasp, and God is beyond our ability to calculate. But let me tell you some more good news. You don't need a diploma in biblical interpretation or theology to be friends with God and spend eternity with him. This great and awesome God, 2,000 years ago, became a man. A man whom we could touch and embrace. A man with whom we could share a meal dare I say, a man whom we could scourge and crucify. This awesome, terrific being who sits upon this incredible throne became one of us, that we simpletons and people who are ignorant of the most basic spiritual truths might be in a right relationship with him. The gospel and the Bible. The gospel is what the Bible teaches. It's so wonderfully deep and rich that some professor brainiac could study it for the whole duration of his life and never exhaust it. At the same time, somebody who's not educated, a child, can hear the gospel and accept it and believe it and come to God and be embraced by him. So do not allow this incredible vision of Ezekiel to put you off. To persuade you that, oh no, this is not for me. I don't even understand it. It's too weird for... This awesome God became a man to save you and bring you back. If you understand that, you've understood enough. The second point I would make. Much of the chapter is taken up by these wonderful living creatures that have several wings and apparently have four faces looking out in the different directions. They're accompanied by wheels covered with eyes, and they seem to move around, but without turning. And we're given a fairly detailed description of them. And yet Ezekiel does not apparently react to them. He describes them, but in verse 26, he sees another figure. He sees a throne like a giant sapphire, and upon the throne, a likeness with the appearance of a man high above it. The being on this incredible throne resembles a man. Presumably, no strange wings, no strange wheels. In one respect, he is described in more normal terms than the creatures who surrounds his throne. And yet he's not a man. Humans are made in the image of God. And that term can be understood in a number of ways, but there's a sense here in which our shape, our outline, may well mirror the outline of God here. He is, of course, a spirit. We are in a body. And yet we're told that the one who was like the likeness of a man the appearance, verse 27, the appearance of his waist and upward, I saw, as it were, the colour of amber with the appearance of fire all around and within. No man is of fire. And from the appearance of his waist downward, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire with brightness all around. His reaction comes at the end of the chapter. When I saw it, I fell on my face. John, in the book of Revelation, makes a similar comment. And when I saw him, I fell down as though dead. The majesty and the brilliance and the glory of God is so intensive and wonderful, we could not bear to stand before it. One day, the Christian will be given a new body at that resurrection, and somehow, in the New Jerusalem, we will see his face and we won't be destroyed. The beauty, the intensity of the majesty and the glory somehow will not destroy us. Here, Ezekiel falls down, not perhaps just in worship, but because he is made so weak before it. In verse 2 of chapter 2, the Spirit actually enters him, I think to give him the strength to obey the command to get up. So no matter how visually impressive these angelic beings, it was the one on the throne before whom Ezekiel fell. One of the reasons that the Lord does not allow us to see, by and large, perhaps some do, angels, is that we would fall before the angels instead of the one on the throne. Again, John in Revelation nearly did it. We are naturally so inclined to idolatry that if we saw a glorious angel of light before it, we would fall. And the danger is, of course, good angels would not receive that worship. And when Satan masquerades as an angel of light, he would like nothing more than to receive that worship. It's not the angels we should focus on. It's not these strange wheels with the eyes. I don't understand them, but the text is surely saying it's the one on the throne, the Lamb in all his glory. If these creatures of Ezekiel are the same ones of Revelation chapter 4, and there are differences in the accounts, what do? They worship the one upon the throne. This morning, we have, and when I finished, we shall worship again. And our worship is not as impressive as theirs. We are easily distracted, are we not? But we are doing here, in this humble chapel, what these amazing creatures are doing in the throne room of heaven. That's why non-believers won't go to heaven. They didn't want to worship him here. And they'll be no more inclined to worship him up there. The more I get to love the Lord Jesus Christ, the more I read accounts, and I think it's he on the throne, by the way, the more I long to see him. The more I long to be with him. He came to earth as a baby. He came to earth and worked as a carpenter for the bulk of his life. Then he went around teaching and he died as a sacrificial victim. But this is the Lamb in all his glory. That is what he surrendered for those 33 or so years. He came off that throne that he might be fastened to a cross. Why would he pay so dear a price? Why would he leave such splendor for such a mucky world as ours? Because he so loved the world. This awesome, terrifying one upon the throne loved human beings so much. He paid such a price for them. If you can't get your head around those creatures and their wheels, get your head around why would God love you so much that he would leave that throne to go to a cross. That is the greatest, deepest, most profound mystery, I think, in the whole of Scripture. The other point I would make, or another point, is when Ezekiel received the vision. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the 4th month, or the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Kibar, that the heavens were opened and I saw the visions of God. On the 5th day of the month, which was in the 5th year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans, by the river Kibar, and the hand of the Lord was upon him there. So what? Before verse 4, Ezekiel is arguably at one of the lowest points in his life. He's not in Jerusalem. He's not in Judea. He's in the land of the Chaldeans, better known as Babylon. Babylon. That land of idolatry, led by a king, Nebuchadnezzar, a psychopath, by the rivers of Babylon. We sat down and wept. Yea, we remembered Zion. And like Daniel, Ezekiel is there, a prisoner, a captive, in a strange and foreign land. We're told he's a priest, but he has no temple. He's a priest, but there's no sacrifice. He must have thought, I was meant to be a priest. I'm of the priestly line, but never again will I minister before the Lord. When it says the 30th year, I think it means it was his 30th year. Perhaps he thinks he's halfway through his life and his life has become a disaster. Carried off, carried away, exiled, enslaved. And yet, it was in that dark, dismal land of Babylon where Ezekiel beheld the glories and majesty of heaven. Babylon might have been a very dark, spiritually evil land, but that is the place where Ezekiel beheld the purity and beauty of the living God, at whose temple he could no longer minister. Even his king is a prisoner. How often does the God of heaven speak to us when we're at our lowest point? Sometimes you might notice if we have testimonies, people will say, well, you know, I was in a really bad place and this bad thing happened, another bad thing happened. And there are lots of people who say, well, actually, I didn't have all those bad things. Does that mean my testimony isn't valid? It is. But often it's in the fires of pain. It's in the fiery furnace when the Son of God comes to us. Sometimes it's in that dark land of Babylon. Ezekiel, unemployed, unfulfilled, unloved. That the great and glorious God of heaven came to him in the whirlwind out of the north, that great cloud, raging, fire engulfing itself. I do believe, and I think the Lord may well put me to the test, that when we get to heaven, we won't thank God for the happy times on earth. We thank him for them now. For those times of pain, those times of difficulty, those times of exile. In heaven, we'll thank him. Because we'll look back and we'll see, those were the times when he gave us the more help, the strength, the encouragement, the glimpse of the glory. I've never seen a vision of God. And I don't expect to. But I am mightily pleased that I can read Ezekiel's. The final point I would make. Commentators spill much ink trying to explain the symbolism of the angelic beings. My instinct is not to bother. God made them that way. That's why they look that way. If Ezekiel made this up as some kind of weird poem, then we could pore over it and consider the deeper, darker symbolism. I think they look that way because God made them that way. End of. And yet, these four creatures before the throne, their faces are strange. The face of a lion, the face of a man, the face of an ox, the face of an eagle. This will be my final point. These creatures who are apparently entrusted with being around the throne of God, and if they are the same ones as the ones in Revelation, are somehow the heavenly worship leaders, we might just learn a little lesson or two from them. The face of a man. Man is made in the image of God. When we worship, we need to be more like Jesus, the Son of Man. Less of me and more of him. The eagle is able to travel in any direction. Indeed, these creatures are. May we go wherever he sends us to. The lion is renowned for its courage. May we be bold in these days in which we live. And then we have the ox. If I had to choose an animal for an angel to resemble, it wouldn't be the ox. But God did. The ox, of course, is very strong. It's also very subservient. In our lives, let's live for Him and not for self. Take off that little tinsel crown you've been wearing and cast it before Him. And He will exalt you in due time. Amen.